Blog Talk Radio.
Don't believe what you know to be true.
What's going on?
There's no such thing as common sense.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Simple Facts of Life Radio, where, what with all the constant attacks on your personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability, what with the attacks to cancel anybody that disagrees with any part of the radical leftist agenda, and what with the demands from the left that those of us who value freedom should just give up, I'm reminded of the immortal words of John Paul Jones, "I have not yet begun to fight." That should be our answer to the cancel mob. That's a simple fact of life. I am your host, the Chief, coming to you from somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. If you would like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. And I'd like to say hi to another chief. Crazy Cajun is in the house in the chat room. Nice to have you here. Okay. I started out with the quote from John Paul Jones, and what got me to thinking about that was there's a story that's, I don't know, not getting a whole lot of national attention, and okay, I can get this, but for some of us, at least in my circle, this is a huge deal. And what I'm talking about is there's a fire aboard a Navy ship, USS Bonhomme Richard. Hull number of that is LHD-6. This fire has been going on for days. And I'm gonna talk about the fire and what it means in a little bit. But first, I want to give a little bit of history and some other stuff about the ship, and I'll circle around here. Now, when I'm talking about the fire and what's going on, I'll start out with the disclaimer that I have no inside information, nothing that's not available to the public, but, you know, 20 plus years in the Navy, I think I can give you a little unique perspective about what the people are thinking, what's going on, and how it affects it. So, but first, I want to give it a little bit of history. The Bonhomme Richard, or if you look in the title of the show, I call it Bonnie Dick. A lot of ships have their little nicknames. Bonnie Dick. It is the third ship in the United States Navy to bear that name. Actually, there were a couple other ships besides those three, but one of them was like a post-Civil War cruiser that was canceled during construction, and another one, I believe, was an aircraft carrier, which was being built, and before it was launched, the name was changed. But the second ship of the to bear the name Bonhomme Richard was an Essex-class aircraft carrier, came into service late in World War II, and it stayed in commission and service up until, you know, the end of the Vietnam War. Cajun makes a point. I'm going to get to that in a bit, what you were saying. Yeah. But I want to talk a little bit about the first ship to bear the name Bonhomme Richard. That was John Paul Jones's ship. Now, John Paul Jones, he's sort of regarded by us as the father of the United States Navy. There's a statue of him right out in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia. At least there was when I was in Philadelphia. I mean, statues of white guys, you know, don't do too well these days. But as far as I know, it's still there. And his famous quote came, he was sent out to disrupt the British commerce during the Revolutionary War. And, oh, I think it was off the coast of Scotland or somewhere like that. He got involved. He found a British convoy, got involved with the escort, HMS Serapis, and they got in really close, and he was hailed by the Serapis. Have you struck your ship? Something like that. And his answer was, I have not yet begun to fight. And he hadn't, and eventually, yeah, more or less won the fight, I guess. So the name Bonhomme Richard is French. It means good man Richard. And that was actually named in honor of Benjamin Franklin, who was known also as Poor Richard from his almanac, the Poor Richard's Almanac. So that's the name of the ship. Now, as about what kind of a ship the current Wasp is, it is LHD, which stands for like landing helicopter dock, something like that. It is a Wasp class. Now, for most of you who don't follow the Navy as carefully as some of us who've been there do, if you looked at it, you would say, ooh, that's an aircraft carrier. And yeah, it looks a lot like one, and I'll talk about the mission a little bit, but it's not an aircraft carrier as the United States Navy use aircraft carriers. It doesn't have any catapults to launch high-performance aircraft. It doesn't have any arresting gear to allow them to land on the ship. So it's a little more limited, mainly helicopters and vertical takeoff and landing type of airplanes. But what I find interesting about this type of ship is it's really kind of, their mission is, in a way, the most yin-yang, night and day kind of thing you can imagine, because in one sense, it is the most blatantly offensive platform that the Navy has, other than maybe a ballistic missile submarine. As it's designed, it really has no use in defense, although I'll get to in a bit, it can't where it could be, but its primary mission is to put Marines ashore in places that the people that are there do not want any Marines to be at. That's what it's for. Nothing defensive about that. So it's a very offensive type of ship. But on the other side, It is the most useful kind of ship in the most benign, peaceful uses that a Navy can put a ship to. And I'm talking about disaster relief types of operations, because what this ship is designed to do is put a lot of stuff ashore wherever it's needed. Ships of that type, including the Wasp, have participated in disaster relief. The Wasp participated in after an earthquake in Sri Lanka, tsunami in Indonesia, that sort of thing. They have participated, and they can do a lot of good in peacetime. So that's what the ship is about. Now, as far as its possibility for use as a defensive platform, it can be used in sort of a more traditional Navy sea control mission if they put a lot of airplanes on board, like instead of the helicopters and such that they use to get stuff ashore. It can carry, let me see, if they want to use it for that, it can carry maybe 20 AV-8B Harrier attack aircraft. Those are flown by Marines, American version of the British plane. It's been around forever, all since the 60s, can take off and land vertical. Now, what the ship was doing when the fire started was it was being configured, as I understand it, to support operation of the F-35. That's the newest stealth fighter strike-type aircraft. There's three versions. There's the Air Force version, which is designed for land operations, the Navy version, which is designed to be operated from aircraft carriers, and the Marine Corps version, which has vertical takeoff and landing abilities, and that's what the amphibious ships would carry. So that's what it was doing. Now, this fire. I'm going to talk about the fire itself, because the ship was in port in San Diego at the time, and let me see here. And I'm messing with my. Okay. Well, the ship was in port in San Diego doing a major type of refit, to support the planes. I think it had been there for quite a while, and I'm not sure how far along they were. But when the ship goes through that, it really changes a lot of things, because I have some experience with that. When I reported aboard USS Independence in the late 1980s, it was in Philadelphia, close to the John Paul Jones statue, being given a 2-year overhaul. So what happens in those cases is the crew is much reduced, and then as the ship gets ready, I came on board toward the tail end of it, and when they were building the crew back up to be operational. But there's just not as many people assigned to the ship. Now, the fire started on Sunday morning. Last I heard, as of a few hours ago, it was still burning. But there were only, like 160 people on board. I'm not sure what the crew right now is supposed to be. The normal crew of that ship is a little over 1,000 people, but like I said, it's probably was a little bit smaller right now. But see, the interesting thing about this is fires on ships happen all the time. I mean, on large ships, I spent a lot of my time on aircraft carriers, and well, they weren't exactly a daily occurrence, but you know, more often than not, there'd be like one fire a week on board the ship, but really not that big a deal, because when you have a whole bunch of people on the ship, including, you know, specialized people whose job at that time is to kind of like the fire department, and they will put it out. And a fire will not get very big before somebody notices it. They call it. One thing about the Navy is everyone is trained in damage control. I mean, from the time you get into boot camp, or before you get out of boot camp at least, you have to go fight a fire. It's a constant thing. Everyone, not just the people who specialize in it, but everyone has to know how to fight a fire aboard a Navy ship. But on a Sunday morning, with a reduced man ship, there just weren't that. So I don't know how long that fire had been going on before anybody noticed it. Now, Cajun pointed out that the fire suppression system was not active at the time, no fire watch set, a few other things. Now, I remember from my time in Philadelphia, fire watch was a huge thing. I mean, no welding was allowed. There was a special division, and it was one of the largest divisions on the ship at the time, whose sole job was anytime anybody wanted to weld or do any kind of burning hot work, that sort of thing, there was somebody there with a fire extinguisher, and he had to be there the entire time and for 30 minutes after the welder left, just to make sure that there was no fire. I don't know that from what I read, it doesn't seem like there was actually any welding going on here. So I don't know if that was the case. But let me see. But normally on the ships they have a halo. It's called a halon system. It's a chemical fire suppressant. But they're probably working on it, so it was not active at the time. From what I've read, the fire did not start in the vicinity of any welding. It started in some kind of a storeroom. Don't know what caused it. We're not going to know for a long time. But I read something kind of interesting. This was from a retired Navy commander who said, as counterintuitive as it seems, if you're going to have a fire on a ship and you want to deal with it, the best place would be if the ship's underway out in the middle of the ocean, because, like I mentioned earlier, the whole crew is there and you can respond very quickly. In port, it's a little rougher, but sailors have been fighting the fire along with the Navy base fire department, and some sailors, I guess, from other ships had come over to help. The San Diego fire department, fire boats, all this was going on. But here's the thing. I'm not sure that they're going to save this ship. Now, it's not going to sink. It's not going to burn to the waterline. It's made of steel. But this ship was, it's kind of an old, you know, relatively old ship, I guess. Well, I've been out of the Navy 25 years, and, well, the ship had been laid down a few months, I think, before I left the Navy. I wasn't commissioned until a couple of years after I left the Navy, but it's an over 20-year-old ship. And there is such a thing. That's not really that old by standards of Navy ships, but what happens when you have a fire is it warps the metal, and if they want to save the ship, it will probably have to rebuild the whole thing much of it from the main deck up. The island structure will probably have to be replaced. I don't know. So I don't know what they're going to do about it. My guess right now is, New Orleans wake upset. It's probably damaged beyond repair, and that's actually my look at it, and that's kind of sad because we're talking a few billion dollars to replace it. I don't know what the Navy will do with him, but hopefully we won't need to put Marines ashore anytime soon. We do have several other ships. I think that was actually one of the newer ships of the type, but there it is. But to tie all this together in a way with how I started the show, quoting John Paul Jones, because I don't know. We're going to have to find out what happens with that ship. Good job. They actually, I even read that a couple other ships, I guess, were tied up across the pier from it. They actually managed to get them underway on a weekend. Not easy to do because they didn't have very many people. I even think that they may have gotten some people from some other ships. And New Orleans wake up point 67 in 1967. Ship caught fire. I think he's talking about the Forrestal. And boy, it was a big deal. It was underway off the coast of Vietnam, and they did manage to fight the fire simply because they were ready for it, even though it was on the surface a much bigger fire than what they have going on today. They were able to fight it. The fire on the Montholm Richard, it just sort of got out of control before they could get to it, it seems like. It's just started in some storeroom with a bunch of cardboard and this and that, supplies for the work that was going on. And it just spread out of control before they could really stop it. Now, once again, I don't know. I've been rambling for longer than I thought I would, like I usually do. I want to tie this into where I started out with. I have not yet begun to fight because the cancel mob is coming after us. Fortunately, they're not trying to cancel me, mainly because not that many people listen to me. If I was big, they'd be giving me the same treatment that they give other people. But we have to continue to fight. End of the Coast Guard's only submarine, Cajun says. People are asking, or let me see, where am I here? There's a big fight coming up in the next few months over our elections. And like John Paul Jones, President Trump is kind of caught up with the enemy. Has he begun to fight? I was reading an article yesterday, a couple articles. Let me see, where am I? One by Pat Buchanan. And he wrote that even though the polls have Trump way down right now, there's a lot of history in this. I mean, the most recent history is 4 years ago. I remember on Election Day when this started out, and it was like a 90% chance that Hillary Clinton would be elected, and as the results came in, the needle just kept moving and moving over in Trump's direction until it got to 95% chance for Trump to win, and then it was declared over. Pat Buchanan pointed out the Harry Truman, where it was at the point where the papers were where the papers had already been printed saying that Truman had lost. If conservatives want to maintain some idea of freedom, boy, if I'd have had a little more time, I'd have read something that I just saw today, but I'm running too short of time. But our freedom is being assaulted because those people on the left have decided they will not even abide by any even slightly divergent opinions. Where am I? Yeah, here, Penn State. Somebody in the liberal arts college put out a tweet that said, "Dear students, each of you belongs here. Dear black students, your lives matter. Dear Muslim and Jewish students, your beliefs are valued here. Dear conservative students, your viewpoints are important." And there were some others. The fact that they even would acknowledge conservative students caused them to have the outrage mob to force them to delete that tweet. That's the situation that we're finding ourselves in. No divergence of opinion is allowed. Have we begun to fight? I don't know. But as John Paul Jones said, "I have not yet begun to fight." Well, have we begun to fight? Yes. But another ship I was on in new construction, the ship's motto was "Never give in." That ship was the John A. Moore, and the guided missile frigate. We can never give in. I believe the motto came from a quote from Winston Churchill, but nonetheless, we have to continue the fight at all costs, and I'll be back here next week to do that. Till then.